What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. We're going to do a little short story. I was talking to my friend Robbie McFarland at GHATS, the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society workshop. It was an awesome event, 1,300 student athletic trainers there on a Saturday. But he shared a story with me that I'd never heard before, and honestly, I didn't know that this happened. And so I'm really interested in hearing this story, and I think my students are going to really get a kick out of it. And then also, me and Robbie have kind of partnered up to increase the value that you're getting from the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Robbie has become the premier or the official hydration equipment provider for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. So I'm excited about that, the value that it's going to bring to my students here, but also to you as a listener of the Sports Medicine Broadcast, because he's going to be giving half off graphics to people that order through the links there that I send out, and also is going to have some special deals coming up as we go on throughout the year and that kind of thing like that. But here's a story that I want you to tell me about. All right, so we're here at GHATS, and then you said something about having your heart restarted, right?
Yeah, it's something that happens every day, right? I mean, come on, it's normal. Is that not normal? Just to have your heart restarted?
No, that's what I'm saying. I've never heard of somebody having it done whenever they were not dead or their heart was not stopped, you know?
Well, it actually ties in with sports and all that. It was my first year here at Klein, and we had a game on a Friday night. Everything was fine. Nothing really out of the ordinary about that day, except the fact that my heart decided to go crazy that night. After I left the game, I stopped, got my typical post-game meal, whether it be, you know, grab a quick Whataburger or get some Taco Bell, ran to the house, ended up catching the late night sports deal with my wife, and we shared a bowl of ice cream. And as I was eating that ice cream, I noticed that my heart would almost skip a beat. It felt really weird. I didn't think a whole lot of it at the time. I had to be at treatments in the morning, so I went ahead and went on to bed. And in the middle of the night, I woke up, and being an athletic trainer, knowing what a heart issue or a heart attack should feel like, I knew immediately something wasn't right. I thought for sure I'm not having a heart attack, but it was the panic. I had a little bit of sweat on my top lip. I just felt like something bad was happening, and my heart was obviously, I felt it offbeat. I tapped my wife and said, you're probably going to need to wake up and take me to the hospital. And so I went to the hospital, and we got there, and they were asking me these crazy questions in the initial exam room. Was I on drugs? Was I, they kept asking me if I was like on cocaine or something like that, because my heart was so out of rhythm. I said, I assure you, I'm not doing such things. Because obviously I don't do those things, but second of all, I drive buses. And then that's when they found out I was a teacher, so on and so forth. So they hooked me up to an EKG, and lo and behold, my heart is all over the place. Just a very erratic beat. It wasn't what it should be normally. So they moved me to a room. Doctor finally came in to see me, and he said, well, I'm kind of at a loss here because you're I guess at the time I was about 25. So you're a 25-year-old male that you're not on drugs, you're not anything like that, but you're experiencing something that either a person who is almost overdosed on cocaine or a 60-year-old lady has, and that is AFib. And I had recalled having this sensation before a time or two in my life, and I'll talk about that here in a second, kind of why I think this whole deal actually opened my eyes to a lot of things. But he said, your top part of your heart is out of rhythm with the bottom part of your heart. So your heart's working extra hard to basically keep you alive. And the problem with this is not the fact that the heart is actually going to stop or you're going to have an actual heart attack, but the fact that blood clots develop and you can have an aneurysm or stroke out or something. I'm 25 years old. My wife's looking at me like, where did this come from? And I didn't know. We had no clue. There was nothing we could put our finger on that said this is the situation and this is why it happened. So moving forward, my heart is out of rhythm. They tried me on some different medications in the emergency room to get my heart back into rhythm. Nothing was working. They had me on warfarin to make sure that I wasn't developing clots and wasn't going to have a stroke or, like I said, an aneurysm. And we're sitting there, and 12 hours later, still in emergency room, my heart is not back in rhythm. So they said, we're going to need to move you up to ICU, and you're going to see one of our heart specialists. I said, fun. This is exactly what I wanted to be doing on my Saturday. So this ordeal has carried me up to the intensive care unit, and I meet with the heart doctor, and he says, we're going to have to restart your heart. And I'm like, well, if you got to restart something, what do you got to do first?
Yeah,
you
got to
stop it. And I'm like, well, I'm not a doctor, but sometimes I feel like one, and I know a stopped heart means that I'm dead, sir. And he said, well, we got to stop. We're going to do it very quickly, but basically we're going to put you on a defibrillator and restart your heart, stop it, restart it, and hopefully it starts back in the rhythm it should be in. So I'm sitting here. Obviously, my wife and I are a little bit concerned because now we're signing papers that say that this could kill me and I may not come back, and are all our affairs in order? Do we have the wills and everything else? I mean, everything just happened so quickly. We're talking 14 hours after I walked off the sideline at our football game that night. And so moving forward with this situation, my heart's still out of rhythm, and they're really concerned about the fact that I could be developing clots, and even if they do get the heart back in rhythm, those clots could lead to an issue. They move forward a little bit, and we end up getting to the point where the actual restarting of the heart is going to happen. They walk in with this machine. The first fun part, not that this whole ordeal wasn't just a blast, but the first fun part was that they had to do an ultrasound of my heart. Of course, we all know ultrasound to be on the outside and everything. He said, but we need to look at the, I believe it was the backside of the heart somewhere they wanted to look at and make sure no clots were in there. And so the only way to do that is to put the ultrasound down my throat and ultrasound the backside of my heart. Once again, fun situation. So they numb my throat with a spray that tasted awful. And then they put an ultrasound machine in my throat and ultrasound the back of my heart. They see that everything looks the way it should, so they move on with the procedure. They go ahead and get my chest cleaned up. They shaved off all my manly hair. And then they brought in the machine that was fixing to restart my heart. And sure enough, just like an AED, it was a pad, one up here, one down on my lower chest. And as they're setting everything up, nurses are all around. My wife had to step out with my mom. It was too much for her to see me like that. And the fact that in just moments, I could be gone. And that was kind of the gravity of the situation. But being the type of person that I am, and you know me, Jeremy, I'm a lighthearted guy. And so I'm joking. I'm laughing, you know, as they're shaving my chest hair off and putting these pads on there. And I'm cutting up with the nurses like, hey, you know, this is, you're going to light me up like 4th of July, and just laughing. And the nurse injected the relaxing drug into my IV. And I remember the doctor tapping me on the shoulder, and he looked me in the eyes and he says, you need to shut up. I need to do what? And in the next instant, it felt like I was the only thing I could just, if I had to describe it to somebody, and you have to either have been in a severe car wreck or have played football against some really big guys. And the only thing I can describe the sensation to is taking the hardest hit I ever got back when I played football in high school and timesing that by 10. And in a moment, boom, it hits me. Well, as soon as I come back to life, can we say, I come back to life, we're talking just a matter of a second. I come to, well, that's when the relaxing drugs that were actually, I found out later, supposed to put me to sleep, that's when they hit. So my sensation right after it happened, and the way I perceived it, was that actually kind of felt good. What I was feeling was the feel-good medicine they gave me. And so I look at the nurse and like, whoa, that felt pretty good. And I remember putting her hand on my shoulder, and she's like, sir, are you all right? And for a second, I thought to myself, I said, am I having an out-of-body experience? Did I die? And am I looking at myself dead, laying on it? I didn't know what happened. And I found out later that from other doctors is that I should have technically been asleep when that happened. They don't know of many individuals that have been actually conscious to have been defibrillated. And so high five to me. I've been defibrillated, fully conscious, fully knew exactly what was going on, and I thought it felt good. I tell doctors this story all the time, and they, first of all, say it's crazy that I wasn't asleep, but second of all, that that I thought it felt good. So I remember looking over my left shoulder at the screen, and it was monitoring my heart, and everything was back in rhythm. And my wife came back in the room. I said, well, I guess you're not going to get that life insurance policy you're hoping for. That's probably why she was crying, is because, you know, she wasn't going to get the $500,000 I was worth. But she was happy. My heart's back in rhythm. And the doctor said, well, that was it. That was it. We went through 18 hours now from an emergency room to ICU for you to just, boom, flip the switch, heart's back in rhythm. And we spent the rest of the night in ICU, and the next day we were in a room for, we were there till lunch. Everything stayed in rhythm, and we moved on. The cause of this was actually the ice cream. The ice cream, we found out that I have a hypersensitive vagal nerve, which runs right in between your esophagus and your trachea, and it controls the rhythm of the heart. Well, it's almost like it got a brain freeze, and the brain freeze caused my heart to go into an arrhythmia. And what we found out later is that this has actually happened twice before in my life. Once when I was in college, and we all thought it was funny. We were just like, dude, listen to his heart. It sounds weird. And of course, we're all athletic trainers. We're all listening to my heart, and not one of us knew exactly what we were dealing with there. I could have developed a clot then, and you know, thank God I didn't. And then the other time, which was worse than any other time, was when I first started coaching and athletic training, which we've already covered in an episode, is that second time it ever happened. I remember drinking a cold cup of water during football practice, and my heart, I felt it go out of rhythm, but I didn't register exactly what was happening. Then I go back out on the field, screaming, coaching, running around, doing everything that a coach does. Imagine your most high-strung, intense coach. That was me. All the meanwhile, my heart is out of rhythm, and basically I should have been in the ER. Finish practice, go in, check my blood pressure. It was about 160 over 120. And I remember going home that night, and the thing about AFib is it also makes you very tired. And I remember being just more tired than usual. My heart's out of rhythm. I can't catch my breath. And I just remember laying down in bed thinking, God, will you make my heart feel better? Boom. Next morning, it was back in rhythm, which can happen at times. It can go out of rhythm, come back into rhythm. And the two times previously, it went back into rhythm on its own. This last time that I told you the story about, it didn't. Point being, there was a very high likelihood that I probably, that second time around, should have had a very bad outcome. I could have either had a stroke or an aneurysm and died. Looking back on that, I knew there was still a reason for me to be here. And it was those kids that I was actually out there, you know, working with and coaching my tail off for, and the kids that I have the opportunity to work with today. Those are the reasons why I'm still here. And now that we know what we're dealing with, we have protocols in place that if it ever happens again, of course, I've got a team doctor on my phone. I can call him pretty quick and be taken care of. But I am a living dead man having come back to life. So that's my story.
All right, so you are from the country. Now I'm getting some feedback. You ever grabbed one of those electric cow fences?
Yeah.
Now, that gives you like a shock, like it feels like a big punch. So that's something that I know what it feels like being electrocuted. Can you compare those two?
Or even for people that aren't from the country, if you've ever pulled a plug out of the light socket and accidentally been touching the metal, you get that sensation. It's almost like your arm gets that grabbing feeling. All I can say is, compared to that electric fence or that plug, it's your whole body, a cramp. It's like a full body instant cramp. And I don't know how to explain it. Just take the most sudden, hardest hit you've ever had, and that's probably how it felt.
Yeah, so when I explained to my students when we used the AED here last year, I've never seen it used before, but it actually does like in the shows and the movies, it jolts your whole body. Like you just said, like it's an electrocution. So like you said, a big muscular cramp, like your whole body just, I don't know, tenses up at one instant. And poof. Uh-huh. So there is like a thump whenever they do that. And it is amazing to me that you did that. You went through that conscious. So it's a fun story.
My buddy Randy over at Forest, he's actually had AFib, but it's not due to the same reasons mine has, where I have AFib. And he's been defibrillated 5 or 6 times, but his have all been while he's under some type of anesthesia or relaxing drug. He says that it's pretty crazy too. I don't know, man.
So, all right, cool. Well, that was pretty much the story I wanted to share with the kids, share with the listeners, and that's it. So we're going to get ready for our podcast tomorrow. And this is actually a kind of like a teaser or an introduction to, in I think 2 weeks, we're going to have an episode called When the Pain is Real. So it's when athletic trainers get injured, because I got a friend over here in Pasadena, tore his ACL, running out onto the field to check out another kid. Or I got a colleague way up, maybe up there close to you, fell off the back of a golf cart, broke his tibia and fibula. So there while on duty. So just kind of a little introduction, a fun, very rare story from my friend Robbie McFarland there at Klein High School, owner, CEO of Frio Hydration. So, all right, Robbie, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.